The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland.
Hello.
I'm way behind on tweets. You know how people give me crapola for reading tweets? Maybe you don't get as many tweets as we do.
Maybe
I just lashed out. New Jersey, New York. Mark Borchardt standing by. Talk baseball with us. New Jersey, New York, GV. Regarding the start of your Red Sox Blue Jays explainer, my dad kind of has the perfect way to explain baseball. No other sport has a list of rules where every rule has an exception, and every exception of that rule has an exception to the exception. We will keep seeing them. Absolutely. Anthony Salvato. As far as players knowing rules, if umps declared runner scores, then they'd at least had a chance to appeal third. 15 minutes on the call to New York. Jeez, by the way, Monasterio on third base was told by the coach one out. Oh, so he had no excuse.
Yeah.
Chris Heath, I love how Dustin constantly references wrestling, but when asked if he watches, he responds, no, I'm not in seventh grade.
Okay, that is such a great call out.
Love Dustin.
I might not have directly called that out as clearly as that tweet just did, but I was confused by it. He kept making wrestling references, but then it was asked once or twice who he liked, you know, what does he watch now? And he's like, I don't watch wrestling.
Dustin's parents, when he was watching wrestling in sixth grade, I'm like, what are you doing? I think that's how his parents talk. Brian Point Schaefer, find someone that loves you like Gil loves Iga. You say that again. 3JOCH3131. Ah, yes, the infamous fourth out to go along with the fifth ball, fourth strike, third. Can I say that on air? I don't think I can. And of course, the fumble in the end zone equals touchback rule. All of life's great mysteries.
Oh, true, man.
And then Patrick Kelly, in baseball, isn't the fourth out most times a swung third strike, not caught? Batter goes to first, the next batter's out? Yes.
Yeah, right. Yes.
And finally here, I want to talk to Borchardt here, but he says, Steve Groenwald, I am 58 years old, and I heard you mention the Yacht Rock album from Keith Urban on yesterday's show. I have to wholeheartedly agree that he did an amazing job. You never know what you'll get on a numbers game. Welcome back from your vacation. Yeah, man, it's great.
Golf handicapping yesterday, I want to say I made it through at least half the album.
It's spectacular.
Good shout out. It was good.
He does it so lovingly.
Good one from you.
You know who does baseball lovingly? This guy, Mark Borchardt. A base winner who's on the road today just outside of Whitefish, Montana, joining us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Mark, thanks for the effort, man. Appreciate it.
Gil, I wouldn't miss it for the world. Actually, I would if I was driving with two dogs for 20 hours last week.
Oh, but, man.
Glad to have you back. And you know what? I haven't been able to congratulate you on your month-long with Boston. What, that's got to be a play of a lifetime. I was telling Kelly, I think you probably have like 20 years of monthly betting before, you know, the break even hits at 80-1. I don't know. Maybe the math's wrong on that.
No, that's probably true. That's why I said, like, the guy who tweeted after the first day, the Red Sox lost the first day of July by 8 runs. And he sarcastically was like, yeah, Gil's monthly playoff to a blazing start. And I was like, that dude, I was like, you should take a break for 80 months now because there's nothing you could say. Yeah, no, I appreciate it. It just worked out as perfectly as you would want all of your bets to ever work out. We'll see if we can't do it with Detroit again here in August. Have you done your August simulations at all?
Yeah, man. And, you know, I've really kind of delved into it. You can go to my site. You can read the division odds, not only the division odds, but the whole odds, but DraftKings doing division by division odds month of August. And that's so intriguing. And I have all these odds processed and I updated it today, so I'm probably going to put a post up there about the division odds. But if you're looking at like the overall odds, I know you have Detroit and I've got Philly, so I'm looking at Philly right now +800. I've got them +336, so there's still value. And that's the team. I mean, it really like changes your whole perspective. I love this. I'm so happy they did this because it gives you what I guess are 6 months in the baseball season, last I checked, and it gives you six shots at it, and it's really, really fun, and it's fun to handicap too. So check out my site. I think I'm gonna probably have a division odds update, and I'll do the league the overall odds as well today.
I want to echo what you just said. The monthly markets, yes, we've won a couple now, including the big one last month. But the monthly markets have allowed me, and this speaks to you, you and I have been following baseball and handicapping baseball since the dawn of time. And after years and years and years of doing that, you are a human being. You're going to run into a wall. The game changes for me. I stopped doing daily baseball. And it's tough then to sort of process a 162-game schedule. This was the perfect tonic for that. It immediately broke up the season so perfectly into ways that I could not only digest it and learn, but also love it again in a different way. Not that I fell out of love with it, but it rekindled the love for it. So I can't recommend it more, even beyond betting, what the monthly perspective does. What did you land on today?
Well, today I'm going to talk about this Toronto team because I think that they're showing value in the futures markets as well. But today I really like them. I've got them. It's an interesting play for me. I've got them on the run line, -1.5 +147. But I also have the under 7. And if you're looking at Dylan Cease, I think that he's got to be the front runner, Gil, at least by my numbers, to win the AL Cy Young. And then, you know, they really still their lineup is not great. They got rid of a couple pieces, but they're like 15th in baseball. And then the bullpen I have for Toronto, 6th in baseball. So I want to just check real fast because I'm flipping around here, Gil, on my laptop, and it's a little bit different for me. But I have them 20% to make the playoffs, so +382. And I think that they're at DraftKings at +550. So I think that that's a pretty good opportunity to get an underdog with a decent chance, a 20% chance at +550. And you look at, and they picked up Soriano, which was a weird trade. I don't know what your thoughts were about that trade. It was a weird trade that they ended up upgrading.
Yeah.
So I think you got a good 1-2. Dylan Cease, Savage is good, and you've got three pitchers that are quality pitchers there. And so I think that's a pretty good futures play as well.
+550 to make the playoffs on the Toronto Blue Jays. It's interesting. A lot of these teams. I by the way, Soriano was this early season Cy Young play for a lot of people. And I pointed out at the time, I'm like, he has a 95% strand rate. Like, this is not going to last. And it didn't. But yeah, it's definitely an upgrade for them. But I think, like, even Detroit, right? They trade Scooble, they trade Mize, and everyone just assumes again, like, well, they're giving up. No. It's like sneaky. They get Jobe back from an injury. He was hitting triple digits on the gun the other day. Melton, while being very fortunate, has pitched great for the Tigers. And obviously Valdez, if you ever get Framber to do his thing. So it's like these teams under the radar, like there's always a way that it breaks completely well for you and breaks completely poorly in that spectrum. And so if it breaks well for any of these teams, it could go very well, to your point about the Blue Jays. No parlay of the day from Base Winner is where we deprived of that.
You know what? I'm going to go with the, I'll give you the parlay because it's your first day back after what seems like months off, Gil. But you know, yeah, I'm going to go with Arizona Dodgers, and it's basically a little bit better than even money. But I'm looking at Arizona today, and they've got a guy. You're going to love this one. Mitch Bratt, Gil.
Oh, yeah.
And every time I look at this guy, I'm thinking Funkified DeBratt, 1994.
What do you know about that, Kelly?
I thought Dustin was going to be on the show today. And I thought, well, you know, I wish Gil was on the show because maybe you had DeBratt in the studio, 1994, Funkified.
I did. I met DeBratt. Yeah.
So that song. So I listened to the song a little bit today. It's a great song, really good. I don't know Big Papa, and they use the same Isley Brothers, a sample. I think DeBratt might be a little bit better. But you're looking at DeBratt; he's a lot better pitcher today. You're looking at Mitch Bratt today, a lot better pitcher. I've got the game priced at -201, and then Snell makes his return. I've got the Dodgers heavy favorite. They're -265 in the market. I think it should be over -300. So put them together in a parlay. It's +120, Gil.
There you go. You have Mark Borchardt with a Funkified DeBratt reference on the show today?
I did not, Gil, but I'm never going to rule Mark Borchardt out from making a solid music reference, okay?
Wes Reynolds, the ball is in your court. It's a battle.
I want to let you know, if I was in my studio, I could probably rap something about this parlay to the DeBratt, and that would be really epic. But I'm, you know, since I'm on the road, I figured I'd you know, the degree of difficulty would be tough on that game.
You're on vacation. Take it easy.
By the way, Funkified still stands the test of time. Sounds good. By the way, about the Diamondbacks, not a person who usually puts out great tweets, but he has a point on this one. Felica just texted me this and Will, which is, in the group chat with Fez and Todd also, Bob Nightingale, the Diamondbacks, your Diamondbacks, who you just mentioned in your parlay, battling for a wild card berth, are 14-3 this season against the Rockies and the Giants. So they're feasting on the bad. They also still have 9 games remaining against the Rockies and the Giants, who are combined 48 games below 500. Advantage Diamondbacks, do you like them as a playoff bet?
I don't, which is really weird because I've been so high on
yes,
them
you
to make
have.
The playoffs go. But if you're looking at a playoff percentage for me, it's 35% plus 182. And I think that the market value is actually the other way to bet the no. But one of the things I did touch upon was Lovello. And if you remember the show that we did for VSiN, Lovello was my manager of the year at 22-1. And if he can do it with this component, you know, they're starting pitching is like 25th to me. The offense is decent, but 10th to 12th. And so he's been doing it with smoke and mirrors. And I think Lovello has been really undervalued there. For me, he should be the manager of the year. But to make the playoffs, I'm not showing value on him, Gil.
Dodgers still winning this whole thing once the playoffs start?
I think that they will. You know, I think that when I did the simulations yesterday, the Yankees actually showed really good value winning the American League. And if you look at their pitching, you talk about a top three, boom, 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 and you've got that. So I think that one, and again, that's a health thing because, you know, Bellinger with the hamstring, and you've got Stanton, who knows, and then Judge, of course. So Judge. you have those health issues, but I think if everything goes good for them, I think the Yankees to win that AL is value. I think plus 100, right?
So agree with you about the Yankees, though, being the sneaky, freaky brother sneaking in from the rear. It all comes down to when does Judge come back? Sooner the better, obviously, but they are stacked when fully healthy. Thank you, Mark. Thank you for Funkified as well. Mark Borchardt, everybody. Base winner.
My pleasure.
Coming back on A Numbers Game. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Kelly Bidlin hates Little League Baseball. Football is back, and some of the best betting opportunities of the year start with the NFL preseason. Sign up for VSiN Pro today. Get both our NFL and college football betting guides packed. And I mean packed with team previews, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from VSiN's sharpest minds to help you bet football smarter all season long. You also get daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, including our new MLB player props and totals picks, plus 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Start today for just $9.99 or get a full year, save 50%, pardon me, with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. We have a TV in the studio, and both yesterday morning and this morning, it was tuned into, you still say tuned into?
Sure.
The Little League World Series. And yesterday, Kelly was basically shouting at Danny Higgins, get this crap off the TV, because Kelly rules this studio like an emperor. And then today, it's I guess DC was playing Pennsylvania, and this 11-year-old kid, Everett Choi, on the hill, and Kelly is shouting at Danny again to get this thing off the television.
That's how it's working, just me always yelling at Danny. Danny and I got onto it a little bit when this first started, because Danny's very pro Little League World Series. Hey, it's awesome. It's what a dream for these kids, right? I can get behind that, but when we're doing a show, I would like informational television off to the side.
Maybe I want to see what kind of stuff Everett Choi has. Yep. 5 foot two
but
inch.
NFL Network's Patriots stats from last year would be better for you.
Mm. We get tweets. Tim Bowers is a Tigers fan. I love these Tigers guys. I got a bunch of tweets. You know, Tarek Skubal got traded, right?
No, but there were multiple people that were concerned about your sanity after that bet.
And then, by the way, I told you I responded to one of them. Oh, no, that can't be true. And he actually responded back like I was being serious.
It was like loving concern. Like I'm talking still like okay. Like tweeters you would recognize that clearly left you off the tweet just to be like, hey, Kelly, like he's okay, right? Like,
well, they clearly didn't see me talk about it.
I know. That was the best part. I'm like, yeah, you just listen back to it.
Tim Bowers, as a Tigers fan, you should know, one, rain forecasted this week. Oh, that's not good. Two, Tigers have around 27 blown saves. Yeah, I'm aware. Three, Cleveland just has their number in 13 games last year. Tigers scored 34 runs versus them. They're 0-6 versus them this year and on pace to score 24 runs versus them. Yeah, I don't buy into that stuff so much. Michael Salvino. Gil, welcome back. Thank you, Michael. Dr. Actor KJ. Gorillas, shorter legs and muscular frame, have to waddle on legs, causing arms to swing wider. Spider monkeys having long, thin legs and, how does it, prehensile tail acting as third leg are able to propel themselves forward on two legs more easily without needing to waddle. Hashtag biology nerd.
All right, besides the tail, this still all checks out, man.
KJ, you can tweet every day, every hour with all your stuff.
For real, there's a lot more waddling going on back in the day.
Any breakdown of that kind of stuff, I enjoy. Hoops by Hoots, coming from an umpire. The easiest way to think about a fourth out appeal is whatever is most advantageous for the defense. Another scenario where this would come into play would be missed bases. Scenario of bases loaded, two outs, and a grand slam is hit.
God bless everybody. Like all the the little leaguers playing today. You don't think every coach is bringing this note up before the games? Oh God, what a miserable meeting that is to sit through.
One more, Ryan McKinney. Gil, any thoughts of using your Red Sox most wins winnings towards an entry in Grandissimo? Not only do I think you'd have a legitimate shot to win, but imagine the great radio it would produce for the coming months. Oh, it produced great radio, all right.
I don't even know. Hey, man, this is...
Gil, you got knocked out in the first round. How do you feel?
Yeah.
First week, how do you feel?
Gil already takes Survivor about as serious as anybody I know. I don't know that I want to be sitting next to him for how many weeks, how many months of sweating out a grand
disco. I don't need that kind of anxiety.
I got a couple NFL training camp notes for you real quick. Mike Vrabel said at a press conference today that Drake May will not play in the first preseason game. That number has moved a bit. Colts were catching a point and a half. They're now laying 2.5 at the Patriots. That game is on Thursday. LaFleur says Jordan Love plans to play in the preseason opener. Packers move from a point and a half favorite to a point and a half dog to a point and a half favorite at the Steelers. And the Jags will not play their starters in the first preseason game. They go from 1.5-point favorite to a 3-point dog at New Orleans.
Hope you listened to the show yesterday about, again, all the things about getting ahead of moves in preseason football, and even if you're behind the moves.
This is why I'm just going to keep throwing these out, because we keep getting this news like this in these mornings right when we're on air, and these numbers keep moving. And like I added another bet today, Packers.
Speaking of Survivor, which we just talked about with Cleve, we talked about just moments ago with us, Grandissimo. Let's just do our yearly Survivor primer. For those who may never have played Survivor before, just your basic tenets of Survivor. I always start by saying the game is misnamed. The object is not to survive. You have to fight the instinct. We are human beings, and our brains are wired to last as long as we can in Survivor because it's fun to play. And when we're here, we get to talk about it all the time, right? You want to be in it as long as possible. But the object is to win. And what I mean, so the game is misnamed, and it makes you think that the object is to survive. No, the game at some point, in other words, you shouldn't just take the biggest favorite every week and think that that's the way you play, is what I'm trying to say. At some point, you have to play strategically and put yourself out there, if you will, and take risks. The object is to win, not survive. It's called the illusion of false hope. By the way, shout out to Tom Federico, Jason Lisk over at Team Rankings, and Jason Lisk.
A great group.
Bet Labs. Just a great job about Survivor primers through the years. Know the size of your pool. That's always going to matter. In other words, the smaller the pool, the less risk you have to take. The larger the pool, the more at some point you have to take. That's just like daily DFS basic strategy. Know your specific pool rules. We alluded to that with Cleve, who's again optimizer. You can actually toggle between rules of different Survivor contests. Circa, there is a Thanksgiving and Christmas quirk. Those act as their own weeks. Mini weeks, whereas in the splash contest, you have to do double entries in multiple weeks. So you have to know the rules. You can't start Circa Survivor without paying attention to Thanksgiving and Christmas. If you played it without that knowledge, you ain't doing it correct, right? So you have to know the rules of your pool. Cleve alluded to this. This is the biggest thing. Future value. Future value is maybe one of the bigger determinants in everything you do in Survivor. It's about future schedule, right? So the Chargers are not only a huge favorite, the biggest favorite on the board in week one, but it's also great to know that the Chargers, after week two, the schedule gets way harder. So it makes the Chargers in weeks one or two that much more appealing of a play. But of course, you also want to know what the full pool is playing, so you have to consider that. Yes, they don't have much better future value than playing them here. But do I want to play them when so many others are going to play them? in case there's a major upset. There's all these kinds of factors.
Mm-hmm. Great example.
That you have to consider when playing Circa Survivor.
I mean, that one's a great example. It's a great example. I don't know how often we see that with, what percentage through the first 2 weeks? It's going to be heavy.
Heavy Chargers.
I mean, honestly, Gil, it's one of the few notes I've made already of, you're probably using the Chargers in the first 2 weeks of every entry that you have.
And Kelly, we've never seen that franchise lose a game they're supposed to win.
not at all.
Never.
Really, just the future value, right, of not knowing. Right. You don't know. You don't know what the Chargers could turn into down the road, that their opponents could turn into. If you save them, there is a chance, and in the NFL, a decent-sized chance, right, that an opponent shows up down the road where you're able to take the Chargers when almost nobody else is.
And I think one of the biggest points that doesn't really get addressed necessarily when people talk about Survivor is often the best option every week in Survivor is taking the team that is a big favorite, but just a few percentage points lower in win probability than the most popular. Mm. That's probably the optimal, generally speaking. It's not going to be the case every week, but generally speaking, that's sort of the North Star you're looking for.
It's a good call. Yep.
And then I do want to dispel.
Because then you're on a big favorite, right? But you're just not on the most popular selection that week, most likely.
Not that that's foolproof. None of this is, right? That could go down spectacularly in flames too, but. You know, just want to point that out, that's a good guide for in general for a week to week basis. And then there's a couple closing. There's a couple of things. Some things are true, right? There are things that are true and then there are things that are myths. Here's something that's true. Road favorites do lose more than home favorites. OK, that's something that is true that people banty about.
Yep.
You know what isn't? And we talk about this every year. This notion that you don't want to play division games. Oh, I'd play this team. They're a big favorite. But Kelly, it's a division game. I don't want to trust that.
Yeah, division opponent just knows them better.
I can't do that. Well, we've thrown this out for a few years. Mm-hmm. I haven't updated them, but this is from 2000 to 2023. Shout out Federico and Lisk for putting this together. Guess what, guys? Over that 23-year span, with sample sizes of over 1,000 games in each of these categories here, or 1,000 games total in this whole endeavor, division rivalry games have resulted in fewer upsets among likely Survivor picks than non-division games have. They've even broken it down in terms of point differential in the spread, from 5 to 6.5 points, 7 to 8.5 points, different categories. Overall, you see at the bottom, division games, 77.5%, non-division, 75.5%. In other words, in the division games, the favorite manifests even greater. And you see in each of those categories, Kelly, the only one where that's not the case is the 9 to 10.5 point category, where the non-division games slightly come in at a higher rate than the division ones. But generally speaking, that is an out-and-out myth in Survivor. Mm-hmm. Still, it's a division game. You can still play it. Don't be scared. Don't be scared. Coming back on A Numbers Game, right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget about the sharp plays, unmatched transparency with records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting info, alerts directly from the pros. Scan that QR code on your screen for more information, sharpplays.com. Gil Alexander, we get tweets, beating the book, Jesse Welch. It's a few days old now, but I just got around to listening. But this most recent Pablo Finds Out pod was something. Pablo Torre. We're talking about Kawhi?
Yeah, man. Like part 13.
Oh, he has just been all over this.
We're at a point, though. So I don't know how you, because you've listened to a ton of them. I don't know if you're fully caught up. I could spend like 15 minutes on this. I think we're at a point where we're going to start asking, the questions are going to start to be asked about, is this just an isolated Clippers Kawhi thing going on in the NBA, or are there
great
others?
Point.
Because it is the
Kelly is referring to, for those who don't know, is the circumvention of
salary
cap.
Yeah, to pay Kawhi Leonard to stay in LA, and it allegedly. And this is Pablo's now tied in three different companies that have been attached to this. And when you start hearing things like that,
Daktronics was the last or something like that.
Okay, if one team's doing this with three different companies, what's to stop any other team?
Well, if they only had a living, breathing commissioner, maybe they could do something about it.
It's pretty bad.
Billy Charlebois, looking forward to the upcoming Las Vegas residency of Barry White, the Wizard of Oz, and Cleve T.A. coming up at the Sphere. I'd listen to this Cleve TA guy read directions for building an IKEA bed. Holy golden voice. Yeah, he said he was like his raspy, tired voice from Bet Bash.
Yeah.
He sounded fantastic. Bet your boots off. Fellas, I'm dying over here because I have a few Sonny Gray Cy Young tickets. The odds range from 75-1 all the way to 120-1. Been watching him slowly climb the ladder all season. I could really use a bad game from Cease tonight. Yeah, you could. And 3-Jack-H-3-1-3-1. 3-Jacques. Gil, ruling the Giants and Chargers out for Survivor Week 1 based entirely on the fact that Dart and Herbert have their super hot girlfriends at camp. Ask Lombardi how that's working out for Belichick at UNC. Yeah, I'll be sure to pick up the phone and ask him. Oh, man. And 3-Jacques also adds, Gil, if you're having trouble keeping up with tweets, should we send you an email? How about a Snapchat? What's your pager number? Yeah, I don't know. Just hit me on the hip with the pager. No, please, just tweets. I'll get to them all, I promise. I was upset that I wasn't at Bet Bash last week because I didn't get to hang out with everybody like Cleve.
Mm-hmm.
Also didn't get to hang out with Drew Dinsick, who I'm hearing from multiple sources has been dispensing hugs. Cleve said he hugged him. Will said Drew gave him a big hug. I've known Drew for a decade. I've never gotten a hug from Drew Dinsick. Let's show this picture.
Look at this.
This is Kelly, Matt Brown.
Dinner Friday night, man.
And the two stars of the Deep Dive podcast, our Drew Dinsick on the left and our Andy Molitor on the right. Look at the four of you guys. Where are you guys at right there?
We were over at Oscars.
I had never eaten
there before, by the way.
Great hamburger.
Yeah, I ordered
the burger. Drew Dinsick joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, the host of the Deep Dive, and of course, Bet the Edge podcast. What's happening, man?
Oh, nothing bad. Yeah, Oscars delivered. I got the braised short rib with a little bit of a medallion of foie gras on it. So tender. You just kind of like poked it with the fork and it just fell apart.
This guy,
it was outstanding. We got the magnum of 2023 Napa Cab. It was excellent. So yeah, altogether it was an outstanding dinner. Although I don't know if Kelly told you this story, but, he lost credit card roulette.
Oh, was, he did not.
It was a tough pull.
You know what? There was a follow-up. Well, we just did it. Just a tip. Yeah, just a tip for the dinner. But did I also screw up the tip, Drew? I think that was also something. I think Matt called me out on screwing up the tip.
I don't recall.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
I hope no one tuned into the show right before you said just the tip.
Yeah, I did. That's why I made sure to say it a few times. Yeah.
Drew, I also got nothing but rave reviews for your tennis seminar, which not only was Kelly in attendance for, Joe Pita texted me about it. Preston showed up in the middle of it, I'm told, as well. Preston Johnson.
A surprise middle appearance, yeah.
So kudos to you, man. You had fun doing it.
Absolutely. You never really know what the attendance is going to be like for a seminar because, you know, as you kind of alluded to, Bet Bash is whatever you make of it. And a lot of times, you know, afternoon on day two, people are kind of winding down. But we had outstanding attendance for the tennis betting seminar. It was genuine enthusiasm from a lot of young players to kind of try to understand tennis better. We prepared about 50 minutes of material. Myself and co-host Tim Dennis, who came all the way over from London to talk tennis at Bet Bash. We prepared about 50 minutes of content for the people, left about 10 minutes of time at the end for Q&A. Got an hour of questions. And just kind of ripped on, you know, live betting strategies and, you know, market observations. And, you know, people were asking all of the right questions. And I guess my underlying kind of read was people saw what I saw at Wimbledon, which was $100 million matched in running in a, you know, a quarterfinal match. And they're just like, wow, well. If this is the kind of liquidity we're talking about for in running tennis, then I better get familiar. And you know, so for that reason, I think you know it was a pretty successful endeavor. Met a lot of nice people. Learned some new tennis betting strategies myself. And as Kelly alluded to, seeing Sports Cheetah was an awesome throwback. Haven't seen him in a couple of years, and he's looking great. So that was very cool.
Beardless. Okay, you have to do a double take, right?
You're
Preston, is that you? Okay.
He had like the final question too when Drew was up against the wall from Spanky being warning him on time. It was very dramatic. I was sitting at the back, I'm like, fireworks could happen.
Spanky had to sandman Drew off the stage at the end. Yeah. So real quick then, before we get to anything else football wise, let's talk tennis for a second. Do you have anything in Canada today in tennis?
Yes, I'm on over 22 and a half for the Fils-Hodar match. That one should be absolutely awesome.
It's a banger, this match. Yeah.
Oh, banger. Absolutely. It's a banger. We saw these two go toe to toe recently. The market has completely flipped on the opinion of who should be the favorite in this one from what we saw then. And I kind of disagree. I think this is a very coin flippy match. I think Hodar this is obviously his coming out year. He is bursting on the scene. You could entirely convince me if he's on the other side of the draw from center at the US Open, he's your runner up. I wouldn't be surprised. But that said, Fils is a slightly more kind of complete and talented player when healthy. And I think he's healthy right now. So I think that's going to be a really, really close match that almost certainly goes three sets, in my opinion. That's the match of the day for me. The prices on Tien and Nakashima are reasonably fair. They should both come through. But the Shelton Mensik match, I disagree with. I think that should be 50-50. I like Mensik there. If you can get a plus 115 ish, that's where I got in. I think I see still plus 110s around. So any kind of plus money involved on Jakob Mensik should look good. And that should be serve fest. The surface is not really playing especially into the strength of the servers, but Mensik and Shelton have two of the best serves on tour. So that one's going to come down to the fine margins of who can do better in tie breaks and who can really outlast. And I think Mensik's got a decent shot.
Nothing on Coco and Belinda Bencic? Nothing there?
I wanted to take on Coco, but
I'm taking her on. I'm going Bencic.
You're taking her on?
Yep. Bencic plus one.
I wouldn't stop anyone from that one. Yeah. I came real close to pulling the trigger on Osaka and Bencic in the women's side today. Ultimately, I didn't get the best price in Osaka. So I passed on that one. And then Bencic should be able to get the better of Coco. But frankly, the way that the surface is playing and how outstanding it has been for the strong returners like Iga and Svitolina make me a little nervous that Coco is going to be pretty dangerous on return in this one. So I passed.
Real quick, U.S. Open. Do we think Carlitos and Jannik Sinner are playing in this thing?
I think Sinner almost certainly will play. My guess is that pulling out of Cincinnati and kind of the rumblings about knee injury question marks are precautionary. And it's a little bit more of a load management situation. I think the fact that he burned himself out on the clay swing lead going into the French Open and then had such a lackluster performance, took the opposite approach into Wimbledon, went in ice cold, no warm-up tournaments, just smack onto grass and managed to make it through unscathed. I think that's probably in the back of his mind of, well, let's just do that again. No reason to fire bullets in Cincinnati in the heat and put yourself in harm's way and then turn around to do it again in Flushing Meadows in 2 weeks is kind of my read. Gil, famously, Sinner has completed the grand semi-slam or whatever they were talking about. Won all of the Masters 1000s, whatever nonsense that was after he won Rome. It's just important to know. Yeah, he's won all these tournaments. He's going to be the year-end world number one playing Cincinnati or not. He is going to be the odds-on favorite at the U.S. Open performing well in Cincinnati or skipping it. I'm kind of looking at the odds board right now. He's dipped into the 50% range for the U.S. Open. I think that's a bet on. And then I do think Carlos will play, but that's speculative.
Coming back, NFL with Drew next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Can we show that picture of Drew, Kelly, Matt, and Andy one more time? Look how your head is now almost as narrow as Matt Brown's is.
Almost. James Farrow tried to put his jacket on me. That didn't work.
try to put Matt's jacket on you.
Yeah.
That is the greatest testament to your weight loss that I've ever
heard. It was the greatest compliment I've gotten so far. James wanted me to wear a jacket for the shoot, documentary shoot.
Drew and Andy cracking jokes the whole time. Andy's hilarious.
Oh, I mean, everybody's extremely sober in this picture. Oh, it got a little rowdy at the table. I'm not even sure I heard Drew talk for like 20 minutes because the three of us were yelling at things over each other.
Let's see here. This is on Twitter. Bet on Pete. How can you not be romantic about baseball after the Red Sox were awarded a run due to the fourth out rule? I bet the Jays will have a player stay on the field between innings for a few weeks. Love that line from, is that from Moneyball, Brad Pitt? How can you not be romantic about baseball? By the way, Moneyball, I could watch it a million times and still enjoy it.
Me too.
So many great lines. First base is easy. Tell me how easy playing first base is to watch. It's extremely hard.
It's incredibly difficult.
It's incredibly difficult. Billy Charlebois, keep reading tweets, Gil. As much as I love the betting analysis, the extras are what gives this show its heart. The fact that you interact with the viewers is a huge part of that. Great LL Cool J reference. Leave your drawers in the hamper. Yeah, no. I'm reading tweets to the end of time. It's not up for debate. Las Vegas 514. Yo, everything's right in the world when Bass Winner references the Brat and Funkified. Welcome back, by the way. Thank you. That was amazing for Bass Winner. Richard Burkhart, did I just hear Sneaky Freaky Brother sneaking in from the rear come out of Gil's mouth? You did. Paul Nelson, you're nationwide today, Mark in Montana, and I'm at 39,000 feet, and welcome back. And one for Cleve TA said, week one, Houston plus the points. Evan Klein, if Kelly didn't hate kids so much, he'd know Alabama has a girl on their team who's absolutely kicking butt. That's right. How dare you. Hates kids, specifically the team with the girl.
I had no idea what that was talking about at first. Oh, okay, Little League World Series.
And
yeah.
And Ankit Kadakia, we'll end on this one. Ankit Kadakia, just the tip, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Drew Dinsa, kind enough to join us for a second segment, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow Drew on Twitter, or that, at whale_capper. Don't go to that other site. That could be something else entirely. At whale_capper. Co-host of the Deep Dive Podcast with Andy Molitor, NBC Sports Bet the Edge with Jay Croucher. We left the women out of the U.S. Open. Then we'll get to football. Anything to say about the U.S. Open on the ladies' side?
Oof, man, it's going to be very competitive. I'm definitely drinking the Eagle Kool-Aid, which I'm sure you are feeling as well. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely very, very suspect with what in the world is going on with Sabalenka. She's still the market favorite, I suppose. But this is now, you know, kind of a little bit of a crisis of quality from her.
Yes.
Really going back now a couple months. Just haven't seen anywhere close to the consistency and dominance that we saw from her in the first half of the year. So, she's on fade watch as far as I could tell you. The other kind of clear and obvious player that you have to, you know, be prepared to cover is Naomi Osaka. I think Osaka, just being as good as she is on hard court and what we saw from her on clay and grass, where she typically struggles, I think is signal that, she's in outstanding form right now. Obviously the fact that she's made a deep run as she has in Toronto is useful, signal as well. And a lot of the best prices have evaporated for, Miss Osaka. But, if you can still find a 12-1-ish type of price out there pre-flop, I think you go for it. But there are, I think, about 7 contenders on the women's side with a realistic chance to win, realistic meaning better than like 5% chance. And where they land in the draw and how they, how the draw is balanced is probably going to determine most of my action for the US Open. And it usually does, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we don't really talk about sort of the process of getting futures down, but for me, I'm firing a lot of futures in the off season for the Australian Open, just based on what I'm reading, who's changing coaches, who's changing tactics, et cetera. I'm firing all throughout the clay season into the Roland Garros futures book, just because you're getting a sense of like whose game on clay is doing well. And there is a ton of on-ramp for that tournament. So you kind of have to be early. Similarly, if you see players playing well throughout the spring and into the clay season who you know excel on grass, I'm usually filling up my Wimbledon futures book before we even see anyone play on grass. But the US Open, you know, the prices are usually pretty cooked by the time we get to hard court season. And so most of my futures action there comes during the, post-draw time frame, where you're really trying to key on your up and coming players who got favorable draws on in the weaker portions of the bracket.
That's an excellent breakdown. And I think you're right. I don't think we've ever gone through that precisely as you just did right there. And Drew, Zach, and I will strive to do a podcast post-draw prior to the U.S. Open. And as Drew has said many times through the years, the beauty of tennis is that it cleanly puts the Grand Slams right in between the NFL season, right? The men's final, the U.S. Open, is always the first Sunday of the NFL regular season. Speaking of which, you and Andy on the Deep Dive podcast, how many teams have you done all 30 already? How far through are you?
We're halfway. We hit the halfway pole on Wednesday of last week. We're into the NFC West this week, which obviously matters a lot. And I think the NFC West this week, AFC West next week, and then we'll wind down with the South and the South.
As one does, wind down with the South, appropriately so. We had our buddy Cleve T.A., who I know you met for the first time in person at Bet Bash. Sure. We had him on earlier. He, as always, was spectacular. We talked a little bit of futures, but specifically on some awards with him. Have you made any pre-flop futures or awards plays thus far?
I think my only awards exposure right now is Jesse Minter, Coach of the Year. I think he is taking over a really, really talented defense in Baltimore. And the signal that I get from seeing Minter's Chargers teams is he got more out of the sum of the parts both of the last 2 years he was in charge of that defense. I'm really, really excited to see what he does with a defense that has kind of a jack of all trades, keep a player like Kyle Hamilton, who and for my money is one of the best cover players in the NFL. I'm excited to see what they look like with a decent pass rush this year. It's going to depend on Roquan Smith having a bounce back season. He was pretty horrific, particularly against the run last year for some reason. I'm hoping that was injury related and that he still has another year before he, you know, kind of fades, you know, into his 30s. But you know, Minter kind of specifically having a Ravens team that crashes the party in the top five of defenses, right? If you kind of polled, I think a lot of people, including media members, about who are the top five defenses, I think they would name six teams and they would have them in some order and the Ravens would be out of that mix, surely. But as I kind of look at them on the fringe of the top 10 in terms of personnel and the fact that Minter gets the most out of his units, they could crash the party. They could be a top five defense. That could be enough to launch the Ravens into the one seed conversation in a relatively wide open AFC. And I think in that world, even though their win total is 11, and this typically goes to a team that's expected to be middling to poor and exceeds and gets into the playoffs. You know, if he's a new coach and it's specifically perceived to be his unit that is kind of helping the Ravens get to the one seed and the home field and preferential path to the Super Bowl, then I could see him getting Coach of the Year.
Jesse Minter from Drew. What number are we sitting on Jesse Minter right now?
He is 10-1 over at DraftKings.
Yeah, I love that. At faraway places where I got down, it's more like 8-1. So 10-1 is a great price.
Selfish question from me. Laramie Tunzel, torn triceps. On a scale from 0 to 10, 0 being unseared, 10 being completely incinerated, how cooked are my skins?
I would say they're a 7.5 to 8. We're not in well done territory, but we're in like medium well.
I think so.
Laramie Tunsil is a top three offensive lineman by my ratings. He is, and specifically, like, if there's any world where you were like, oh, Jaden Daniels is going to have a bounce back year, it's going to be because he's going to stay healthy this year. And that's going to be because he has Laramie Tunsil protecting his blind side.
Exactly what I said yesterday. Yeah.
And now you light that all on fire. And I don't know, man. Daniels he has a relatively small frame. I'm nervous about what pass rushes are going to do to him. I mean, it's still a fairly good line outside of the tackle position, I'm guessing what Connerly is probably going to get the call up into this
Josh
spot.
Connerly.
But Yeah, it was going to take something special, and now you're kind of seeing it trend in the opposite direction. So
exactly what I said. So they were already a team that had a very thin margin of error, and now that margin is already manifesting poorly. Well, that's a fun way to end the conversation, Drew. that's probably what I thought was coming, but I just wanted some confirmation. Appreciate it, man. Sorry I missed you again, but looking forward to you coming for our contest week later this month, man.
Yeah, man. These contest sign-up numbers, they're looking pretty good.
Looking good. Drew Dinsing, everybody. Thank you, Drew. Coming back right here on A Numbers Game. More NFL.